Good morning and welcome to Bond Vigilantes TV. Well, Halloween appears to have come early to financial markets this year, with last week's spike in price volatility spooking many investors. Even the US market, a relative bright spot for most of the year, has fallen victim, dropping almost 10% over the last 3 weeks and giving up all of its previous gains of the year. A theme over the past few years has been the performance of companies with strong growth drivers. In the US, this theme has predominantly been played out within the technology sector. However, with relatively few technology companies in Europe, local investors have had to look elsewhere when searching for structural growth themes. But what Europe lacks in technology, it more than makes up for when it comes to its share of luxury brands, which, like tech, have been delivering a solid growth story. But just as the performance of technology companies has experienced some wobbles, so too have luxury goods. To look at this in more detail, I'm joined by Catherine Locke, our Global Equity Consumer Analyst. Good morning, Catherine.
Morning, Shane.
Well, clearly the sector has experienced a few wobbles over the last month, but right now we're in the middle of reporting season. How are company reporting results look, and what are companies saying about the operating environment?
You're certainly right about the wobbles. So we've seen the European Luxury Index down 15% over the past 2 months. And typically it's top-line sales growth that drives the rating of the luxury goods stocks and therefore the share price performance. And I think there are some concerns over that sales growth as we've gone through September and towards the end of the year, based on some macro data points that have come out of China as well as the Swiss watch export data. However, it's interesting that you pick up on the quarter where the companies that have updated the market so far have actually reported very good Q3 sales growth. So for the fashion and leather goods division of LVMH, that was 14% growth. And for Kering Group, it was 28% growth. So very strong numbers indeed. And I think it's also worth noting that Moncler and Kering management last week asserted that the growth that they're seeing into the important month of October has remained very strong. So at this stage, I think it's quite difficult to confirm that we are seeing a slowing at all of the sales growth of luxury goods.
Okay, that's interesting. When we talk about luxury goods, it's hard not to have the conversation move towards China and the role of the Chinese consumer. How important has China been to the growth story historically, and do we expect that to change going forward?
Well, China's been incredibly important. So the Chinese consumer accounts for about a third of the demand for luxury goods globally. And that's been growing at a rate of about 20% per annum over the past decade, so accounting for over half of the growth that the luxury goods companies have reported. And as I said, there has been some concern over the macro data that's come out of China. So GDP and sales growth, retail sales growth have both been slow. And you've, of course, had a lot of weakness in the stock market. But I do think it's interesting that if you pull apart the retail sales growth number, it's actually auto sales that have really been a drag. And without that, this retail sales growth has actually remained quite buoyant. I think the other important thing to remember is that there have been changes over the past couple of years. So 2016 was the last time that we saw luxury goods stocks at this kind of valuation. And at that point in time, you had, yes, macro concerns over China, but also a concerted effort from the government to crack down on the kind of gifting that had emerged. And since then, we've had changes to the taxation policy in China, as well as to the strategies of the luxury goods companies. And as a result of that, I think some of those transactions that were happening overseas have moved back into China. And there does appear to have been a much reduced level of gifting taking place. So whilst undoubtedly demand for luxury goods is cyclical, I am starting to question whether those changes have led to that sensitivity to reduce somewhat.
Okay, interesting. And you did mention the action of the Chinese government to curb gifting back in 2016, and that did have a short-term impact on growth. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, are there any other disruptions or challenges that the industry is facing and that companies are having to adapt to?
Absolutely. And I think the most important one, like for so many consumer goods, is online. So it's about 10% of sales of luxury goods that are taking place online today. However, I do think that a vastly greater proportion of those transactions is either researched or somehow influenced through online channels. And building and maintaining a brand in that online environment requires quite different skills to those that the brand owners have honed over many, many years. And they need to learn those skills really fast. I think the platforms that are proving very popular, so Alibaba's Tmall or potentially Farfetch, I think they're going to change the economics of the luxury goods industry as well. So on the one hand, you'll have a fee that's paid to those platforms, but on the other, it may change the rest of the cost base. So, for example, the overheads related to stores could in time start to decline. And you know, I think this point in the market, we have some very interesting opportunities for investing in luxury goods. However, I think it's more important than ever to be very selective about the company's individual stocks that we invest in. And, you know, in my view, it's really those that have strong brands and scale, because I think those are the things that are going to be crucial in driving growth, but also protecting the economics in the future. For me, it looks certainly like it's the multi-brand groups that are in the best position in that regard.
Thank you, Catherine. That's very interesting. Clearly, there are a lot of factors at play, but with valuations in the sector coming back, potentially some very interesting opportunities as well. Before we go, let's have a quick look at the key economic data coming out over the next week. It's a busy week ahead, which includes the Bank of England rate decision on Thursday. And around that, we also have inflation and PMI data from both the Eurozone and the US, and we end the week with US jobs figures. Thank you very much for joining us again. I hope you have a very pleasant week.